This is it. You guys ready to roll?
So, this is a morning show, but we're talking about things that have to do with the nightlife? You're one of those guys that leaves at halftime, aren't you?
You cheer for the band, which is unbelievable.
That's because I love culture. I'm a culture guy, and there's no more cultural part of the football game than when the band is playing.
It's a marching band, okay?
And I will march to the beat of whatever beat they're playing.
What are we talking about here? We're talking culture.
Of course we're talking culture, but it's not just culture. It's deeper than that. But it's also not politics. So what is it? But I'm telling you, hot toddies are the way to go if you're feeling ill. This show is live. It's unscripted. Sometimes we have to hit the red button and dump the last 30 seconds. You to happen on this show.
You know, that's the drawback. Sometimes you say things that don't make sense.
We've all heard of late night radio, late night television. We're innovating in a new space, late morning radio.
It's uplifting, it's insightful. We don't take ourselves too seriously.
Now, coming to you live, this is Talking Culture. Here are your hosts, Kevin Sommets and Sam Burns.
Oh, this is Talking Culture. A big, bright welcome to all of you out there listening, and a good morning from Tucson, Arizona. I am Kevin Sommets. That is Sam Burns. Sam, we have some good guests today, but you said you wanted to just strictly talk about the Super Bowl today.
Not strictly. I mean, we do have Tom Brady in the second segment, and we'll have Bill Belichick's comments in the fourth segment. But no, wow, what a game yesterday. And I really only say this, we have to start on this note because, you know, I manage the Facebook page most of the time, and I did say you'll catch Kevin and Sam's reactions live on the air this morning. So we gotta, you know, we gotta be true to our word. But I will tell you, that was one magnificent game. And the one thing I wanted to specifically mention is last week when we talked about this, we both go to churches that meet at 4:30 on Sundays.
Mine meets at 5, yeah.
Or yours meets at 5. Your church decided to put the Super Bowl ahead of religion and had a Super Bowl party.
No, that's not true.
My church went right through and had a service.
No,
and
wait, actually, I'll just go ahead and cut you off there. We had our service at 2:30 and then celebrated the anniversary of being in our building after that. So there's a possibility to have faith and fun in one afternoon.
Well, I'm getting to a concession here is where this is going. So on Friday you said, so how is this going to work? Because we had our service and then we had a Super Bowl party after the service for the second half. And you said, so Pastor Andy's going to finish preaching about truth and good
grace and
grace and truth. And then Lady Gaga's going to come up on the screen and perform after your closing worship. And that is exactly what happened. And it was a little awkward. Everyone was kind of sitting around like, I don't know if, you know, this kind of sort of, you know, we just worshiped Jesus, and now we're watching Lady Gaga prance around on the football stage.
We turned Lady Gaga off at the Village. We took an official stand on that. Halftime show was off. We were fellowshipping during that space.
We had some great discussion. Ray was there from KVOY. He's one of the elders at our church. Ray Allen. So him and I had a nice discussion about the whole thing and how it works and all that. But anyway, aside from that, what an incredible game.
Yeah.
First ever overtime, which is hard to believe.
Took 51 Super Bowls to get an overtime game and to get a big comeback, which some could say is a good game. What really constitutes a good Super Bowl to me is back and forth. You didn't see any back and forth. On a macro level, you did. But anyway, that's the meaninglessness of football that now is over and we don't have to waste time
on
it anymore.
One final statistic.
And sink our teeth into meaningful things.
One final statistic that is fascinating to me. The Patriots have never scored in the first quarter of a Super
Bowl. All 7 Super Bowls, yep.
They have never scored in the first quarter of a Super Bowl.
Well, let's, you know,
and
we'll have time.
Won 5 of them in
we'll
the
have time in the fourth, 10 years? Fourth segment to talk about this some more.
Okay.
I think scratch that itch. But for now, Interfaith Community Services is in with us. Daniel Stoltzfus, Vita Kowalski are in. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
How did you guys enjoy the Super Bowl?
I love the commercials and the food and my friends at my house.
That's really what it comes down to.
Yes.
I think. Daniel?
I enjoyed it with my daughter and a group of high school seniors and some of their friends from church. So
okay.
It was an adventure.
Excellent. The Super Bowls, well, the commercials we can talk about later. I don't know if any of them were quite spectacular.
I agree.
Yeah, $5 million. Anyway, we are here to talk about your organization, what you do, and why you do it. So I'll ask you first, Daniel. Most know Interfaith Community Services. It's been helping seniors in our community for 30 years, not just seniors, but people struggling in a lot of ways. Would you just briefly encapsulate some of the major core areas that you all are seeking to help in our community?
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity, Kevin. So Interfaith Community Services is really about helping seniors, those who struggle with disabilities and individuals in financial crisis, lead stable, healthy, and independent lives. So we're involved in, we have a couple food banks. We work in partnership with the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona as an affiliate pantry, but we have two food banks, one on the east side and one on the northwest side. We do emergency assistance, rent, utility. We like to think of it as homelessness prevention in a lot of ways. It's keeping families housed when they're in a crisis. And we do services for seniors like mobile meals, transportation, friendly visiting. All those things, we're trying to help people with financial assistance get to self-sufficiency. And with, you know, our services for seniors and those being released from the hospital, we're trying to help people live with independence and dignity as long as they can at home. And some those critical supports are necessary. And volunteers are really the lifeblood of our work and what make it go. We have over 750 compassionate, dedicated volunteers who serve our neighbors in need in our community.
Yeah, that is quite a fleet of volunteers, 750. I'm imagining you really couldn't do what you do without them. What is it that they do practically on a day-to-day basis for the organization?
Absolutely. We could not do our work without them. And they serve in every area of our outreach. We have over 90 volunteers that serve in our food bank, for example. We have about 150 to 200 of those volunteers who do transportation, mobile meals, caregiving for seniors. They're the hands and feet of our operation. And we have a little different approach as staff. Our job is, the volunteers aren't there to support us. We're there to support them. And that's kind of a different philosophy. But we think it takes us back to what made charity in this country strong is really neighbors helping neighbors. And so ICS is really a platform to enable people to serve their neighbors in need. And so we're able to create that platform, maintain it, and give people an opportunity to serve. And they seem to love it. They keep coming back.
That is Daniel Stoltzfus from Interfaith Community Services. Also in with us this morning is Vita Kowalski, who is the Health and Senior Services Director. Vita, I wanted to ask, you know, it's about being proactive in our measures. So you're meeting needs as they arise, but you're also wanting to look, okay, months and years in advance, how do we prevent these things? Daniel mentioned homelessness prevention. Mm-hmm. And some of the programs going on right now, one thing of note is the mental health safe space, where you're really reducing stigmas and raising awareness. Will you talk to us a little bit more about this program and how it's being proactive in its efforts?
Sure. That's a program that's being administered by Tracy Cooper. And her responsibility is to go out into our community and present a 90-minute training on issues related to understanding mental health, understanding the resources in our community, and just giving some techniques and strategies about how to just walk along someone who might be in a mental health crisis. So that's pretty much where she spends her time.
And so why is this so key? You know, some of us may think it's simple, knowing where to turn for help, but it may not be so obvious to people. Will you tell us the importance of that and then maybe name off a couple of resources for people who might be listening?
So we know that about 60% of people will never go to seek treatment for their mental illness. And the number one reason of the barrier for that is stigma. So it's how we treat people. It's the words that we use. It's the welcoming or the unwelcoming environment that exists that pretty much makes people feel isolated, not normal, if we want to use that word, and they find it very difficult. In terms of resources out in the community, Simpatico is the go-to. REBA in Tucson to be able to get and seek mental health resources. Also, just in terms of information that's out there, I do want to talk about NAMI, the association having to deal with mental illness or mental illness issues. There's a wealth of information that if you just go online to NAMI.org, you'll find a lot of resources out in the community.
You're listening to Talking Culture. Before we go to break, Zach McLean, Talking Culture CFO, Agape Hospice CFO, and also board member, what would you call it?
Finance Committee.
Zach's on the finance committee for Interfaith Community Services, and you've seen a lot of beautiful things from them in terms of organization and how they run things without divulging their trade secrets. I wonder if you could just speak to that, and then also maybe speak a little bit to the tax credit situation, among other things.
Yeah, well, I've had the pleasure and opportunity to be on the finance committee of Interfaith Community Services for a little over a year now, and first of all, it's been a great learning opportunity for me, but in terms of speaking to Interfaith Community Services and all that they do, for all the listeners out there, it probably sounds like we're just going on and on about all these different programs and opportunities, and that's why they have so many volunteers. That's why they have such an impact in the community, is they provide such a spectrum of services, and they do all these things really well. And so one of them that I want to bring up is the, since it's tax season, is the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. Daniel, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Sure. That's a partnership with the United Way, and we have on Wednesdays and Saturdays, Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 7, and Saturday mornings, I think it starts at 9 to noon. We have volunteers that come in, trained through the United Way and the VITA program. They go through this extensive IRS certification. They do taxes for free for low to moderate income taxpayers, help people get earned income tax credits, tax refunds. It's dollars that go back in our community. And last year we served almost 400 taxpayers with that resource.
That's amazing. Is there still opportunity for people, if they're listening and they can't afford to pay an advisor, they could come in?
Right, come on Wednesday and Saturday, and we'll be happy to help.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, actually, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come right back in with the folks from ICS. We'll talk about some of their upcoming programs, including a delicious Empty Bowls event, which is at the beginning of next month, and some of the awards that ICS has won and why it's important to recognize that. So do stay with us after this very quick commercial break on Talking Culture.
Love designer fashions? I'm Haley Ochoa, owner of Posh Boutique. I love designer fashion, but not the retail price. That's why I opened Posh Boutique Consignment Store, so my customers can get high-end designer clothing, shoes, and accessories without the high-end price. At Posh Boutique, we carry amazing fashion from Chanel, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Prada, and more. We guarantee the authenticity of each item. All of our merchandise is new or in like-new condition on Tankaverde, behind Sakura, or online at poshboutique.com.
Posh voted best women's boutique.
If you've been thinking about losing weight and you're finally ready to put your health first, stop wishing and start doing with RM3 from Tucson Medical Weight Loss. RM3 helps people who struggled with slow metabolism, hormone imbalance, or menopause to finally lose weight, and they lose it fast, up to 20 pounds a month. It's safe and effective for men and women, and it's all natural, so it won't make you nervous or jittery. RM3 not only helps you lose weight rapidly, it helps you resist gaining the weight back. This patented program is available only by prescription, and you can only get it at Tucson Medical Weight Loss. So this year, stop wishing you'll lose weight and start doing with RM3. Go to Tucson Medical Weight Loss today. Go to TucsonMedicalWeightLoss.com. That's TucsonMedicalWeightLoss.com.
Times when our systems, the people we elect, those in power, are wrong.
Is it unethical? It certainly doesn't look right.
And for every wrong, there's a way to make it right. That's where News 4 Tucson investigators come in.
Senator, a quick question.
When you need a voice, there's no question we're afraid to ask.
Explain to taxpayers why you think this is okay.
We can handle the truth. News 4 Tucson investigators. Investigating for you.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
Coming up on the next Mic Check with Mike Shaw, we'll have Art Brooks. He is the CEO of the Arizona Broadcasters Association. Should have a really fun talk with him about the state of radio and TV and the industry in the state. And we'll also talk about some changes coming to the FCC and how that might affect broadcasters. Also, it's time once again for the Veritas Forum. We'll get to talk about Mother Teresa. Your calls, too, and if news breaks, we'll fix it all on the next Mic Check with Mike Shaw on AM 1030 KBOI The Voice.
Dennis Prager, mornings 10 till noon, here on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice.
Alrighty, welcome back into a Monday morning talking culture. Thanks for being with us on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, streaming online at KVOI.com. We are joined by Interfaith Community Services, Daniel Stoltzfus, Vita Kowalski are in with us. And before the break, I talked about this event called the Empty Bowls event coming up on March 4th. It sells out quickly. You said there's still tickets, Daniel?
That's right. There's still tickets, but usually sells out about 2 to 3 weeks before the event. It's on Saturday, March 4th.
And this is a pretty cool event. You go and you select from a wide array of beautifully handcrafted pottery bowls, and then you get to walk around and sample a bunch of signature soups, breads, and desserts. Then you go for a silent auction. Then there's a raffle. Mm-hmm. This year it's at the Chinese Cultural Center, which
That's
is up
correct.
Near River and Oracle. But just elaborate a little bit more on this event and what it's doing for ICS.
So it's really a great partnership with the community to help support our food bank. Unfortunately, we have people in our community that have to choose between putting food on the table and mm-hmm. paying the rent, providing for their families. And ICS is able to serve about 29,000 people through our food banks. And this is really the signature event for that. So it's really comes together of we got a great dedicated Empty Bowls committee. We have the potters from the Southern Arizona clay artists. And then they get clay from Marjan's Ceramics and Laguna Clay. They make these handcrafted bowls. So every year they got to fire up and make like about 1,200 bowls. I mean, it's a lot of bowls, and they have this amazing selection. People line up at the event well before it starts to get in to get their selected bowl. It's sold out last year about 2 weeks before the event. And really, there's about 18 different restaurants, so you can come in and sample different kind of soup, desserts. It's an amazing event, and it raises some critical dollars for our food bank to help families in crisis in our community.
So that's the annual, it's the fifth annual, I believe, Empty Bowls event, and that's going to be March 4th. You can go to ICSTucson.org for more information or for tickets, which are only $25.
Right.
Really, what you're getting there is a pretty good deal. ICSTucson.org or 2976049. So you are an award-winning nonprofit, and obviously I know that awards and accolades are hardly the motivation for why you got into this field of work in the first place. But they do nonetheless, when present, I think, provide context for the work that's achieved and serve to encourage towards larger goals. So for the seventh straight year, Charity Navigator, which is America's largest, most utilized independent evaluator of charities, has awarded ICS its highest rating of 4 stars among national nonprofits. What does this mean to ICS? And I'm wondering, what in particular is it that sets you apart? What do you think you do best as an organization?
Well, I think it really what it means to us is it's an indicator of the kind of stewardship and operational excellence and financial accountability that we have in our organization. I mean, it goes to people like Zach who are on our finance committee, others in the community that dedicate their time to make sure that we use every dollar. Every dollar is a donor dollar, right? We want to try to stretch every dollar to the maximum impact in the community. And we're having been awarded this for 7 straight years, that puts us among 2% of charities nationwide. And it's a rigorous look at not only sort of program versus what you spend on program versus overhead, but also how are you growing your programs? How are you making sure the dollars get into the programs as you meet the community needs? So to us, it's a really important metric of what we do. And it's really made possible largely due to the dedication of our volunteers, which now allow us to really leverage resources to serve more people in need. But there's also a lot of financial accountability and transparency measures that are part of that.
We are talking to ICS on a Monday morning here on Talking Culture, and you mentioned Zach McClain. Zach is in studio, frequent contributor to Talking Culture. But he doesn't just contribute to Talking Culture. He actually holds a position as CFO at Agape Hospice and serves on the finance committee, finance oversight committee with ICSAC. What exactly is your role there, and what do you do with ICS in contributing towards the culture that they've created that helps them win these kinds of awards?
Well, the finance committee is, I don't even know the exact number, about 12 of us. They get together on a monthly basis before the board of directors meeting in order to review and approve the financial reports that then get submitted to the governing board. And so our role is to provide oversight and direction and kind of an internal audit of those financials. And kind of switching topics again, I wanted to get back to just on a basic level, the name of Interfaith Community Services, Interfaith. What does Interfaith mean? It's more than just you don't have to be a Christian to come volunteer. It's we're going to do everything we can to engage all these communities where they're at and serve them. And talk to me about what that means.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it really, Interfaith Community Services started as Northwest Interfaith Center about almost 32 years ago. And it was six congregations coming together and saying, hey, we think we can do more if we pool our resources to help people in need. And since then, it's just been a growing. We now have 96 partner faith communities that are a part of ICS. And it's, I like to say, it's all the way across the denominational spectrum. I mean, every different sort of flavor of church you could expect. Jewish congregations, we have a Baha'i group that's a part of ICS, you know, various representations of faith. But the thing that unites us is our desire to serve our neighbors in need. If you tried to unite this group of faith communities on any other issue, political, social, religious, it wouldn't work. But what it does work is ICS creates an intersection where we can all come together and serve people in need. And there's really aspects of all of our faith expressions that are consistent around that, that the way we worship, the way we express our faith, according to the different books we look to for guidance, it's generally focused the same direction, which is you express your faith by serving others. And so we're able to bring that wide constituency together around that mission.
I think that's so key. I mean, you look at all that's going on in our world, in our country, people feel uncertain. There's tumultuous things going on. And ICS is a beacon of an organization that's saying, okay, well, that may be the case, but what can we do? What can we do today? Where can we go? And what are the unifying things? And the two numbers that are always going to be growing, well, maybe not always growing, but if you watch ICS over the years, their partner communities, I've seen it grow from 70 up to 80. Now it's at 96. Another key number that I think maybe fluctuates is your volunteer force. You know, in listening, it's almost like you guys are a staffing service for volunteers. You appreciate them well. You train them up well. You manage them, and then they go out in the community. Right now we're at 750. And so I'm only going to ask this hard-hitting question because you've won seven straight Charity Navigator Awards. So maybe you have some insight for other organizations out there who maybe in the summertime in Tucson, maybe they lose a lot of their workforce. And I'm wondering, how do you guys accommodate for that?
Vita?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. So I want to share with you, oftentimes it's about, yes, we do recognize that our volunteer force may decrease during the summer. And so you have to look at how do you use your pool of remaining volunteers differently. And so, for example, one of the things that we did this past year is that we started what we call an Anywhere Drivers Program. And so what we did is we specifically recruited some volunteers who were going to be here during the summer to take on more responsibility of just driving anywhere. They would pick up a person in need of transportation and drive them wherever they needed to go, not just based on a geographical location. So they really put themselves out there to meet the needs of our recipients and our clients.
That is Vita Kowalski. She's here with on behalf of the Interfaith Community Services on Talking Culture. Finally, I wanted to ask you, Vita, again, a Lunch and Learn is coming up, and that's
yes.
A great way, in the vein of mental health awareness. Can you tell us more about that, when it is, where it is, how much it costs, and why we're doing it?
So our latest Lunch and Learn will be focusing on the family and navigating resources out in the community as relates to mental health issues. And that is scheduled for April 27th from 12 to 2 at Congregation Anshe Israel. They're currently working on working with a panelist of experts to talk about the resources in the community, as well as some individuals who will give and share their lived experience with mental illness as well.
So you mentioned it's for family. So that's the key thing here, is it's for people who have family members who are, you know, experiencing some of the symptoms of mental illness, and it's really a resource for those people mm-hmm. who it's often so difficult for.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So that's the Lunch and Learn. That's the end of April, ICSTucson.org. Again, the big event coming up, the annual Empty Bowl, is very, very popular in our community. 1,200 people are going to show up. If you want to be one of them, I would go to ICSTucson.org. $25 gets you a lot of stuff and helps you help out a really great organization. Daniel Vita, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for what you're doing in the community. Let's take a quick commercial break, come back in. Aiden Acklin's going to be back in with Skyline MD. He's going to talk about the continued approach that they have, some of the nuances there. And we'll also...
Well, I was just going to say with Aiden Acklin, imagine if your doctor was just one text away for one low monthly payment. You can see him as much as you want. You don't pay extra the more you see him. That is the model that they're presenting, and we're talking to him in the next segment. Also, more Super Bowl recap. An all-timer. I love all-timers. We'll get into that later on in the show. You're listening to Talking Culture.
On my love life. I get advice on my clothes. I get advice on how to raise my kid. You know what I don't get advice on? What I'm going to do with my life. I mean, I know my job isn't exactly a career, but what are my options? Is there someone out there who can help me here? Hello? A little guidance? Someone? Anybody?
Ready to make a change? Pima Medical Institute can help. For 45 years, we've been offering life-changing education for careers in healthcare. We offer practical education around your unique learning style, with classes taught in small group settings by instructors who are experts in their fields. Ready for something more? You can get there from here. Take the next step at pmi.edu. Pima Medical Institute. Education. Value. Careers.
The next step is easy. Schedule a tour, explore programs, and see how people just like you have found a career they love thanks to Pima Medical Institute at pmi.edu.
Would you rather empower troubled youth in our community or create jobs? Would you rather reduce waste in our landfills or conserve our planet's water? Thankfully, you don't have to choose. When you donate your clothes to Goodwill of Southern Arizona, you support all of this and more. And with over 40 locations, we make it easier than ever to do good. Find a location and learn more at goodwillsouthernaz.org. Help folks in our community and be good to the earth. With Goodwill, it's so easy to do good.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, I'll have our Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Also, General John Wickham, the former United States Army Chief of Staff. All happening on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Good morning, Tucson. At about 9:33, I'm at Alexander on AM 1030. KVOI, the voice, Tucson. Traffic, couple of things out there. We've got an accident at, Oracle, north of Rancho Vistoso. That's the latest one. Reminder, construction up on Silverbelt at sunset through Wednesday. Mostly cloudy. We took out the mostly sunny. It's going to be mostly cloudy with those clouds that are already there. 72 today and tomorrow, 75 Wednesday, but 85. Thursday and Friday. Morning lows near 50. We're about 56 degrees in the city right now at AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back and to an all-new Talking Culture. And I got a new headset now, and the audio is all weird. Okay, we're back. And I'm back. This is Talking Culture on a Monday morning. And that was a great first half of the show. We got a great second half, too. Kevin has just taken a call. It's always nice when your co-host, you know, puts his random calls ahead of your show. But anyway, that's fine because I actually prepared for this interview, Aiden. Yep. Aiden Acklin is in with Skyline Direct Care MD.
Good morning.
And Aiden, more than a guest, you're almost a frequent contributor on this show. You're here almost every month.
Yes, it's pretty regular now, which is great. You guys are so well informed and have so many interesting topics. So it's a pleasure actually.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on with us again, and we love having you in here because we actually believe in what you're doing. I think it's a brilliant model, and probably the future of how healthcare will be delivered in the United States, if not the world. But without further ado, let's talk about Skyline itself. What exactly is your guys' model for people who haven't heard? How does the whole program work?
It's deceptively simple. And a lot of our patients say, well, it's got to be untrue or it's too good to be true. Basically, for a flat monthly fee for adults, it starts at $50 a month. You have unlimited access to your physician. So that includes any visits that you might need. You get their cell phone number so you can text, call, email 24/7. $10 a month for pediatric care for anyone 18 and under. It's just very accessible. And then, of course, we have cash prices for labs, imaging, and we sell our medications at cost because we believe there should be pricing transparency all up and down the primary care spectrum, as it were, to include your medications, and don't understand why that doesn't exist in the marketplace.
Yeah. Regardless of what you think about our new administration, in his first week in office, Donald Trump signed an executive order stating that basically, among other things, no one had to enforce the ACA anymore. Right. That's kind of a broad summary of what that executive order said. It didn't repeal it necessarily, but it took away the need to enforce it, which includes enforcing that fee that people would be charged for not getting health insurance.
Right.
And as far as I understand it, it's still a little bit confusing, but as far as I understand it, if you don't get health insurance, you technically still will get fined. But you don't have to pay the fine. No one's going to come after you if you don't pay it. But if you do pay it, they'll accept it as a fine payment.
If out of the goodness of your heart you decide to pay the fine and make sure the coffers of the Treasury are still full.
Right. Zach McLean, Agape Hospice CFO's in. You're the one that kind of explained that to me in some ways when we were dialoguing about this a couple weeks ago. Am I off my rocker there, or is that actually kind of what it is?
Well, I don't want to advise anybody over the air exactly what to do, but that's my understanding of the reading of it. I don't think it's really that clear yet, but Trump's definitely moving towards removing any kind of penalty.
So the key thing being, you still will be levied the fine. It's just you can't be forced to pay it. But if they choose to keep a system in place in which fines continue to be a result of not getting health insurance, then you could find yourself in a little bit of a hole if you go a few years without paying.
Right.
Okay. So, nonetheless, Aiden, it seems that things are changing with the ACA and how health insurance works. How does this impact Skyline and perhaps the future of primary care delivery in our country?
Looking into the crystal ball, into the future of what it looks like, for this type of care, I think it'll mostly be positive. Last time when we were here, Taylor Davidson was on the air with us, and he went into some detail explaining what would happen when the Affordable Care Act was passed to the individual market and it was decimated. For those people that are not in employer-sponsored plans, they're aware that if you're over 30, you only have two options here in Pima County now. I think getting rid of the tax penalty and that provision in the ACA is going to be very beneficial. Categorizing direct primary care as something that's not a health insurance entity, because it's not, it's actually delivering quality healthcare will help us immensely. And then again, bringing back into the individual market, because we've got so many small business owners in Tucson, bringing back options, including catastrophic care options or high deductible options that you can marry to our model and really save yourself money without over-insuring yourself, because most people are actually over-insured, believe it or not, that'll help us a lot. And that's a long answer, but in general, I like the way it's going.
Yeah. there's nothing wrong with, to the point about the high deductible plans.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with high deductible plans. The trouble I have with them right now is they're so expensive.
Right.
I mean, a high deductible plan should be cheap
high premium,
on
high
a monthly basis. I don't want to spend a high premium and a high deductible, which is kind of where a lot of people are stuck right now. Zach, you had a comment or a question?
Yeah, I saw this article on Skyline Direct's Facebook page. It was shared from MedCityNews.com, and a little quote from it is, "A consumer with a $3,000 deductible is paying out-of-pocket for routine care anyway, so why not spend $1,000 each year, or potentially even less with your model, for broad primary care without limits? This is an economically driven solution that exemplifies the best of capitalism and the free market." Mm-hmm. And that's music to my ears, obviously.
Yes. It is a free market solution to a lot of ills in the health healthcare marketplace.
Right. And I think that with the changes that Trump is going to bring, the high deductible plans are going to become more affordable on a premium basis, and so that's going to become more and more attractive for your model as well.
I think another key, and to piggyback what you're talking about and the nature of this discussion, I don't want to go too far off the rails, but we as Americans need to start understanding that there's a difference between healthcare and health insurance, and they're not one and the same. And when we talk about, you know, high deductible plans where the premiums are very expensive and they consistently go up, it's sort of like it's akin to being in a bad relationship. It's kind of a weird analogy. But every year the deductibles go up, every year the premiums go up, and the care that you're receiving, what you're getting is diminished year after year. You're getting less and less and less, and you're paying more and more and more. And if you're in that sort of a bad relationship, you know, where I know it sounds silly, where someone doesn't treat you right year in and year out, or they cheat on you constantly, how long are you going to stay in that relationship?
I feel about myself that month.
And again, it may not be the best analogy, but the way we get treated in the health insurance marketplace is so bad. Why are we staying in this relationship thinking it's going to get better?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great point. We are talking culture, and we're talking to Skyline Direct Care's Aiden Ackland this morning. You can find out more at skylinedirectcare.com. Skyline, like the street in the foothills, skylinedirectcare.com. $50 a month, you can text or see your doctor whenever you want.
Yep, no copays.
The best thing, like, I remember when we had you in a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, I was suffering from a debilitating cold.
Right.
And if you're a man, you know what I'm talking about. When that cold hits, it just shuts you down. And I remember thinking, I think we were on a Monday morning, and Sunday night was rough for me. And I was pulling down hot toddies one after another, trying to get myself better. And I was like, man, so I could have texted my doctor that night and gotten some advice about what to do with that cold, trying to get ready for my work week, as opposed to my current setup where I could have called my doctor and hoped to have gotten in, you know, at some point during the week at an odd hour in the middle of my work day.
Right, at a time that's not convenient for you.
Right.
And with a rapidity that's not very rapid at all, actually. I mean, what I tell a lot of folks, there's three numbers out there that are really telling, and it's like 19.2, 7.7, and 22. 19.2 is the average number of days an American citizen has to wait for primary care.
Wow.
When they call. 7.7 is the number of minutes your visit lasts with your physician.
How many minutes?
7.7 minutes.
Wow.
With your doctor. And 22 seconds. 22 seconds is the average length of time that you speak to your doctor before your doctor interrupts you. And they've done studies on all these things. So I tell people 19.2, 7.7, 22. If you want to keep doing it that way.
For $150 a visit.
Yeah, exactly. If you and to your point, at a time that's not convenient for you at all. I mean, they're dictating to you when you've got to come in. So
it sounds like, and we're talking to Skyline Direct Care on Talking Culture this morning. So it sounds like if I was like lonely, I could maybe look to one of your doctors to provide social support as well.
You know, I think some of our patients feel the same way. I sometimes believe that we are the social calendar, but a lot of our patients, I'm not going to name names. They're out there. A lot of them are 1030 listeners. They're just phenomenal people.
Right.
You know, it's really cool when you hear them come in the office. I'll run out of the office, say hi and all that. So as a whole, it's okay. But yeah, there's a lot that call or text frequently.
What's the magazine situation? Last time we had, I think, Arizona Highways. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, there hasn't been a marked improvement, although no disrespect to Arizona Highways. That's a strong
publication.
It's a
beautiful – oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Desert Leaf, Tucson.
What about like a Sports Illustrated? Is that too old hat?
No, it's not. I mean, how much should I contribute to the magazine pool when nobody reads it?
Yeah, that's true. And like you said, no one's actually, they don't have to wait very long.
Yeah, they're not sitting in the waiting room.
I
spend more time dusting the Desert Leaf.
You could just print transcripts of our show or something and put those out on the dining room table or the lobby table. So, anyway, those are the magazines that aren't read in the waiting room at Skyline Direct MD because there's never a wait.
Right.
You just text ahead and come on in. Modern Health, Aiden,
yes,
predicts in 2017 that it will be a breakout year for telehealth.
Yes.
Telehealth being everything from, my understanding of telehealth being everything from video interfacing remotely mm-hmm. with patients,
yep.
all the way through apps and web interfaces as well.
Right.
I would even probably put texting on that, that continuum as well. And so they're predicting it's going to be a breakout year for telehealth this year, particularly because of the way that ACOs are going, accountable care organizations,
yeah.
organizations that basically make more money the better their patients do.
Yeah. Capitated.
Exactly. Yeah. As well as organizations like yours that do concierge medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a study that was done that shows that 98% of patient outcomes are based on things that happen outside of the physician's office. And, of course, this makes sense. No one falls and breaks a hip inside the doctor's office or something like that. You know,
yeah.
Those are some of the most expensive things. They happen outside. So the more that you can reach your patients outside of the doctor's office where things really do go wrong, the better you can do at managing people's care and ultimately coming to better outcomes. So I guess just what are your thoughts on that, and what is Skyline's thoughts on telehealth
mm-hmm.
Both now and into the future?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I really couldn't articulate it better than you just did. It is the future. I agree with that publication. And you're correct. 98% of your health outcomes are going to be determined outside of the exam room. And so having that relationship with your provider ensures that you're going to have more compliant patients with their treatment plans. Being able to communicate with your doctor regularly outside of that 7.7-minute visit that's a traditional primary care is great. We have some, as an example, some diabetic patients, and they've got to check their A1C constantly and then regulate their insulin. And it's great for them to have a physician that they can text throughout the day and give their reports to Dr. Dave and to Sharon. And then eventually, after a couple of weeks, now you've got a compliant patient that can monitor their own behavior. They've been trained, essentially, using telehealth, and their A1C's not all over the place, if that makes sense.
Hey, Aiden, I hate to cut you off
sure.
here, but I got a good reason. John is on the phone, and he says he is a Skyline patient, and it's, quote, awesome. John, good morning. Hello, John. He's there. Oh, we're going to keep talking.
Hi, John.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, John. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I just wanted to call because you guys have some awesome people on the show today, and I just wanted to say you guys are awesome. We actually heard about this group on Talking Culture, my family and I, so figured it'd be awesome to have a physician you could give a call or text and get some quick answers to something, and that's exactly what it is. So just want to give my kudos.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Kudos,
appreciate
sure.
it.
Thanks, John. See.
And I want to say we did, sign up, and then we went out of town. And my wife actually had developed a sinus infection and was able to text Dr. Dave and get a prescription for that. And it is exactly what, I guess, it was explained to us. Saying, you know,
so they're not. It's not a scam.
Right. But, you know, thanks for calling in, John. Obviously, we love having you as part of our family and having your family a part of that as well. It's very meaningful for us to have patients participate in. We get a lot. I don't know if it was the same for you, John, but a lot of our patients, you know, as we explain them all to them, say, wait, there's no copays. It's just a flat fee every month. Like, this is too good to be true. And where's your contract? And I have to tell them, this is not a gym or a bad cell phone company or anything like that. If you deliver on what you're promising and you're delivering good care and that accessibility that you're talking about, John, we figure people will stay with us. It's a simple business model, really.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, John. Thanks for supporting Skyline. And thanks for listening to Talking Culture.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, there you have it. We're up against the clock here, Aiden. But I want to thank you for coming in again on Talking Culture. You're always welcome here to opine on the state of healthcare in America. It's something that I'm sure will be an ongoing discussion this year and into the future. And once again, that is Aiden Acklin with Skyline Direct Care MD. You can find out more on the website. SkylineDirectCare.com. Is that the best way for people to find out more and to get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or is there something better?
No, absolutely. They can go on the website and fill out a form or just inform themselves with all the information on there. We updated the website, and I put a lot of our prescription medication prices on there so people can peruse those at their leisure. But no, thank you for the time. You guys are great. It's a lot of fun coming here.
All right, that's Aiden Acklin. We're going into our final break. When we come back, we've got a lot to get to regarding yesterday and the sporting events of the year. We got that, and Kevin's...
Well, if you're a 19-year-old smoker in Tucson, Arizona, times might be getting pretty hard for you pretty soon. That's next on Talking Culture.
Dennis Prager, mornings 10 till noon, here on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice.
How would you like to see your hard-earned money stay in Tucson and actually help children and families in need? For over 40 years, TMM Family Services has served the most vulnerable population in southern Arizona, and they qualify for the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit.
You can still donate to TMM Family Services before April 15th and receive a tax credit on your 2016 taxes. $400 for singles and up to $800 if you file jointly. More information is available at tmmfs.org.
There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York.
Live at the Fox for Valentine's Day, the smooth sounds of the Branford Marcellus Quartet with special guest vocalist jazz great Kurt Elling. February 14th, treat your Valentine to this intimate evening. The special collaboration will be serving up music for lovers beyond the Great American Songbook. With jazz's most intense band and one of the foremost jazz singers around, it'll be anything but standard. The Branford Marcellus Quartet, Tuesday, February 14th at the Fox. Tickets at the Fox box office or foxtucson.com.
Do you think termites cause the most damage to your home? Think again. It's the pack rat that is the real king when it comes to causing damage to your property. Where it may take years for termites to cause enough damage to need repair, pack rats can rack up thousands of dollars in damage in a single night, not to mention all of the health hazards caused by their waste. This is Brett Holland, owner of Gecko Pest Management. We have a four-step program designed to successfully eliminate pack rats from your home and property to include habitat cleanup and nest removals. Gecko Pest Management can help eliminate all of your unwanted pests from roaches to termites, scorpions, and bees. We are proud of our A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and the 2010, 2012, and 2015 Super Service Awards from Angie's List. Plus, we are proud to announce we are now a Rosie on the House certified partner. So for all your unwanted pests, call Gecko Pest Management at 579-1701 or online at geckopest.com.
What is Optos? At Axenon Vision, you'll receive a thorough screening of the retina with the Optos, a state-of-the-art tool that will reveal early stages of common problems such as macular degeneration, glaucoma, retinal holes and detachments, cancer, and more without dilation. It's quick, easy, and pain-free. And Axenon Vision offers more choices and selection of contact lenses and frames. Open 7 days a week. Call 888-0099. That's 888-0099.
Dr. Bedoya, thanks for all that you do. How do we go about making your dental health better?
Patients have a totally different perspective of dentistry as and what they want done. Dentists, on the other hand, live in an ideal environment where we want to fix everything. A patient comes in with a lot of dental problems and they chip their front tooth. The dentist, you go in there and you see these broken down molars and these gaps and this gum disease, you know, where tartar has been there for 10, 15 years. And you're focused on those things, and the patient's like, Yeah, doc, but I just want this chip on my front tooth fixed. My focus has been in 41 years of practice. What does the patient want? What is their chief complaint? We're there to take care of whatever need they want.
Well, if you want to set up an appointment with Dr. Bedoya, you want to go to dedicateddental.net or you want to call 750-1500. They have two locations, 5th and Wilmot, and then over on Mission on the southwest side of town.
Michael Medved.
That kind of be a form of white privilege, and that
no, of course not, because people doing well and people having functional families is not a function of their skin color, right? So can we get off this idea? Most white people in America are not rich and powerful. Most white people in America are struggling. They're middle class in many cases, and in many places they are terribly poor.
Weekday afternoons from 1 to 4. It's Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back in to a Talking Culture Monday morning, Monday after the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Let's Monday morning quarterback that Super Bowl.
Well, wait a minute.
Did you catch the game, Kevin?
On the other side of the break, I teased something. How many people do you think are driving around, 19 or 20, and they're smoking a cigarette right now? 18, 19, or 20.
And listening to the show?
Mm-hmm. Half a dozen? Half a million?
Maybe a few in the back of their parents' car or something, sneaking a smoke on the way to school.
Well, the reason I brought it up is because there is a bill that's gaining more and more traction that's going to raise the smoking age in Arizona to 21.
I support that.
Yeah, it cleared the House Health Committee. It also includes electronic cigarettes and vaporizers. There was a similar law last year passed in Cottonwood, Arizona. California and Hawaii have already made similar measures. So it seems a little restrictive when you talk about, like, going back to being in the military and being able to die for our country and you can't drink. Now you can't even smoke.
Can't you, if you're in another country where the age would be 18, couldn't you?
Well, of course, you can drink too, but most people are not, in fact, abroad. They are mostly here in the States. So anyway, I think that'd be good. I mean, smoking's bad for you. We should raise the age to 55.
Should ban cigarettes.
No, you can't. I don't think you can do that.
You could raise taxes on it.
Raise taxes. But people are still going to buy. I mean, they've raised taxes like crazy on cigarettes in the last 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
It used to be a buck or two. Now it's 8 or 10 bucks a pack.
There's also a lot fewer smokers.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, maybe that's worked, but people that I know that are low
income. I guess
I shouldn't
say you should ban cigarettes. I don't actually have a problem with, if people want to choose to do something detrimental to their health, then fine.
You can't ban Twinkies.
I do think that certain health insurance costs should go up, which they do for smoking and stuff like that. So, yeah, if you want to choose to inhale poison into your lungs, then that's your prerogative. I do think that raising it to 21 is not a bad idea because, let's be honest, when we were 18 years old, that's not that everyone was chain smoking, but it's kind of like the cool thing to do when you turn 18 is run down to Circle K and buy your first set of Swisher Sweets.
You've never smoked though.
I've never inhaled.
Okay. wasn't that what President Clinton said when they asked about his marijuana usage? She said, "I did not inhale."
I'm standing by that.
And then Obama came, and years later they were like, "Did you smoke?" And did you? He's like, "Yeah, I inhaled. That was the point." So he was honest about his marijuana usage.
I inhaled on accident once, and I'll never inhale again. I think I was laughing, and I laughed, and after a mouthful of smoke, and was like, and I grew up with asthma, so my lungs can't handle that kind of stuff. No, nor should any human's lungs handle that kind of stuff. But
I'm a former smoker myself, and you do it because you think it's cool. I did it because I was in the restaurant industry.
Mm.
And what do you do when you take a break after a stressful shift or during a stressful shift? You get out there and
grab some food off some patrons' plates, take a cigarette, head out back.
I've never done that, but I've heard of that happening. No, I mean, it's a social, you could walk outside for 10 minutes and not be around the bustle of the restaurant, and you can also be around death and be one step closer. What's so funny? What's the inside joke?
Oh, it's too inside.
Okay. Big Burger Burns. You're listening to Talking Culture, and Sam really wants to talk about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're down to 1 minute
nothing
and a
to talk
half
about.
To talk
it was
about
a great game. It was a comeback.
The greatest Super Bowl of all
that
time.
That and the Cats got blown out. Like, there's not.
Well,
there's
with
not
that
much
attitude,
to
there's nothing to talk about.
What do you want to say? You want to break down the stats? You want to break down Brady's legacy? Is Brady the best? Yes,
well, so
maybe,
let me ask you this question. Did you root for Tom Brady yesterday?
I love Tom Brady. He is an American icon.
Have you always
icon.
Loved Tom Brady?
Not always. After when I was growing up and he was winning in all his Super Bowls, I was like, okay, really? Mm-hmm. But then about 7 years ago, I said, okay, I want to see greatness.
Exactly.
I just want to see greatness.
I told so many people this yesterday, and they laughed at me. Someone told me I had a sin pattern I had to look into. I make the point.
I want to meet that person.
I make the point that
we all do.
I did not. I don't root for teams when they're in the process of becoming great. But at some point, it tips the scales towards excellence,
right.
And then I start rooting for excellence.
Same
in
thing
history.
With Phelps and Bolt. Like you're going to root against Usain Bolt.
And yesterday, I actually started shifting back towards rooting for the Falcons at one point when the blowout was becoming intense. And I was almost beginning to pull for an even bigger blowout. Like, let's see a 50-point blowout or something like that.
I know what you mean. We have similar, you know.
We want to see, you know,
we want to see extreme things.
Right.
And Zach McClain is also in Talking Culture CFO. Did you watch any of the game? I know you had homework to do. Zach's doing an MBA at the Eller School of Management.
I watched a little clip of a great interception that Sam showed me. But no, I did not watch any yesterday. I was studying for two tests.
That's good restraint by you.
Yeah, not about anyway.
So great Super Bowl, but you know, I'm more and more drawn into the meaninglessness of it all. Like there's serious things in our world and football's less and less fun. It's more and more of just a spectacle where we learn a lot of valuable lessons. You learn about perseverance. Like Brady put up four fingers, I think, when they scored the touchdown. They weren't going for the 4-point conversion. I think he was saying, you play four quarters. And life's that way. You may be down and out. You may be down 25 points. Stick with it. You might win a Super Bowl. Stay with us next. Dennis Prager from 10 to noon. Then Bill Buckmaster. Oh, it says KBOI.
Dennis Prager's in.
Mike Check with Mike Shaw at 4 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, per usual. Come back tomorrow. Be blessed, Tucson.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson.